Well, again, good morning. We're going to read a psalm. It's quite one of my favourite psalms. That's not the reason we're reading it, I promise. But it's just a beautiful, beautiful psalm. So it is Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Let's give you a moment to find that. It's in the Old Testament. There's an index, Lorna, if you need help. Okay. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. What a great, great reading. Okay. There is no question that you, I, a man or a woman. By the way, somebody said to me this week, so are you going to talk to the ladies this week? So I wouldn't dare. There is no question that a man or woman is a complex and beautiful thing. Very often when people use the word complex, sometimes it is used negatively as to suggest over complex. I mean genuinely complex and beautiful being. And coming to understand the difference between my spirit, my soul, my body, my heart, how many of us know that is not a precise science or easy? Harder still to see in my own self which one dominates and which one submits. Harder still to understand how one is affected by the other. As the Bible says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I am no scientist, I can promise you that. Even less do I have any great medical knowledge. I really wished I could say I was a great healer. I believe in healing with all my heart. But actually, the aim of today, and I believe that God has given this word, this is just not a response to what is going on out there. The aim of today is to see health and sickness through the eyes of God. To see health and sickness through the eyes of God. Now, there are a number of elements to healing listed in the Bible, and this may disturb some and excite others. I've got no idea. But I believe there are four areas of healing in the Bible. Number one, there is what I call natural body healing. Number two, there is kind of external physical healing. Number three, there is supernatural healing. And actually, we're going to complete with today. Number four, there is a healing that comes about by the rejection and the expulsion of dark spiritual powers. So simply this, and this just fills me with wonder. I hate hospitals, but I have managed to cut myself most of my life. Not as a psychological problem. What I mean is that when I'm working with a chisel, sometimes the chisel goes to the wrong place. And I am stunned at the human body. I mean, I love this fact. Don't you think it is fantastic that when you reach somewhere between 16 and 20, you stop growing? How did it know to do that? How did it know that you needed to increase the number of cells? Now, I get the idea that some of us have greatly increased later in life, but I mean, when you cut yourself, don't you think that's the most amazing thing? That without any instruction, there is something in my body that says, rebuild cells. And when they're built, it says, now stop. I find that just amazing. So within our bodies, but there are times that we need to have healing come in from the outside. And God has gifted us with doctors. So my body is doing something to resist what's happening and find healing, but it needs some help. And so I have to have something from outside of me help me, for which I need to be grateful. Then there is supernatural healing. Oh, that's just the greatest thing ever. Oh, Lord, never ever let us stop praying for the sick and seeing them healed. And then there's the kind of whole deliverance thing. So let me give you some examples from the Bible. There's one in the book of Leviticus where it said that if a man has a skin infection, he should go outside the camp. And it simply says this: when he is healed, he should come and show himself to the priest. That's the word the Bible uses. So that's like a healing from within. Just the naturalest thing in the world. Thank the Lord for that. But then there are examples of God using other stuff. Like Luke was a doctor and highly honored for being a doctor. Paul says, writes about Luke, that dear friend, the doctor. And so when Hezekiah is sick, Isaiah makes a poultice of figs and heals him. Or the Apostle Paul, when Timothy has got an upset tummy, tells him to take a little wine. I'm going to have Paul as my doctor. And then on another occasion, Paul is on the island of Malta. They've been shipwrecked. All stuff is going on. And the leader of the island, his dad, is in bed with a fever and dysentery. And Paul says, the last chapter of Acts, Paul goes to him after prayer. He lays hands on him. Can't do that today, but he lays hands on him and heals him. In Luke chapter 11, it says, Jesus was driving out a demon from a mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. Do you know what? I thank God for every element of healing. I believe that often the unbeliever is largely unaware. But you know what? I do think we need to be incredibly grateful for our medical services. And when somebody is made well by them, we need to learn to say thank you. Do you know what? It's the most fantastic bit of teamwork. Because they are partnering with God and they do not know it. Unless, of course, they're saved. Actually, I believe that everything is spiritual. We should give thanks for it. I don't know how many of you say grace at home, but I've heard this sort of grace that goes something like this. Here we go. Thank you, Lord, for the food you've provided. And I'm thinking to myself, do they know how hard I worked for it? How about thanking me? Or how about thanking the cook? Oh, that is me. You see, there is a truth that every endeavor of man, at the bottom of all of our supply of goodness, it comes from the Almighty who gives us strength to work, who provides for us. Don't let any man take pride. We give thanks to God. Do you know, I've got a feeling that everything is spiritual. I haven't really researched this very well, perhaps you shouldn't say it, but I'm fascinated. I'd love to know the nature of the food that Elijah ate when he was being taken out away from Jezebel to meet God. You know, when he heard the still small voice of calm, the journey was long, and an angel turned up and provided food for him. Was it spiritual food or physical food? Yes. However, there are issues that we have to address, and they're difficult issues. I've got loads of issues. Issues like, why did Paul's handkerchief heal so many and then him fail to heal Timothy of a tummy bug? Now, that may not bother you, but it bothers me. So Acts chapter 19, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick and their illnesses were cured. And the evil spirits left them. Wow. And yet he records at other times. In 2 Timothy, greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of that guy, Erastus in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Or as I've said, Timothy, stop drinking water alone. Take a little wine for your frequent illness. Philippians talks of Epaphroditus, who nearly died. The reality of the world in which we live today is a broken world. And I would love to think that God heals thoroughly every time. I want to open my eyes to see that He has provided for me and for you wholeness in the body, skill in this world, supernatural power to heal, and deliverance from evil, and every one of us should look for good health and give thanks to Him for all. The next question I would want to ask myself is, why was Jesus' healing ministry so effective and ours is so poor? All that came to Him were healed. Would you like the answer to that question? I'd like the answer to that question. Well, we could raise the idea that we're not as spiritual. And of course, that is true. Nobody would claim that. But is that really the reason why? I learned something from Nicky Gumbel, you know, Alpha Nicky Gumbel. Let me say this to you. I hope it makes sense. When man sinned, the kingdom of this world fell from its high place. When Jesus came, He invaded this kingdom, but He was not of this kingdom. He was the representative of another kingdom, of a kingdom that knew no death, no sickness, and no pain. It had never been violated. But the kingdom to which He came was not so. It was, and it remains to this day for many, a place of bondage and every conceivable taste of hell's worst as a result of man's sin. Still is. Yet He Himself was not limited in any way, giving expression of His homeland. Where He went, heaven went. And empowered by heaven, heaven had come to earth. When you get saved, when I got saved, I became a part of that kingdom. However, how many of us know that we live in a world of two overlapping kingdoms? That around us, this very day, there is sickness. Heaven has come to earth. Has heaven entirely conquered earth? No, not yet. Some people would say that Jesus' healing was not first just to make people get better, but to express the kingdom from which he came, for which most of his teaching ministry also focused on. And it would explain something else to us too. When the Bible says signs and wonders shall follow the preaching of the word, what does a sign do? It points the way to another destination. So it's not just a marvel and a wonder when God heals. It's a sign of the coming kingdom. And one day it will be true. As it says in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." Now, this is not an easy subject, because I am not selling out on healing. But there is another issue which we have to address. That is that one man's action unfairly affects the health of another. Welcome to the real world. One man smokes and another one dies of lung cancer. David sins and Uriah dies. One man drives badly and another person is injured. That is the reality of being part of the human race, not just an individual. Do you know what? Coronavirus is probably the result of irresponsible human practice. It is a reality in which we have to live. Next, we have to address the faith issue. When Jesus, seeing they had faith, healed the person. I'm now a citizen of heaven, living on the kingdom of this world, and I am believing that the values of the kingdom will invade my experience of this world, and so should you. That needs to burn in my heart, and to the measure that I am convinced, I believe will be the measure it happens. So God give me faith, not to live as a worldling anymore, but as a citizen of heaven, and to bring life and health and healing and wholeness to all that we touch. Amen. So here I am. And you all know what I mean when I say, I remember times where if I pulled a muscle when I was a young strapping lad, it repaired quickly. I am so grateful for that healing. Now I am older. Have you noticed, for those of you that have got grey hair, that when you pull a muscle, it doesn't just get better. It takes a bit longer. You see, you're experiencing healing and living with the reality of age. Some of you. Where did we get to? But this we look to. That the God that we know is the God that can heal and restore and bring wholeness. I am grateful. When next time I have a headache, when did I last take paracetamol, Mal? I can't remember. That's fatal to say that. I can't remember when I did. But you know what I want to do next time I go to the drawer and I've got a headache and I take a paracetamol? I want to say, thank you, Jesus. Would you now take this headache away? I'm looking to you. And then we've got to address another issue. I've kind of heard this phrase, you've heard it all, is all sickness of the devil? Do you know, it is strange to me that some people always need to always crush the devil when we come to pray. Of course, it is true that he conceived of sin, tricked Eve. It may be true his it may be true that at the very root of it is the devil. But is it always responsible just to focus on that? I am not of the silly understanding that the devil... I am fully aware that the devil has a role in every aspect of human failure. But we must not overplay his role, first because his role is sometimes indirect, and secondly, who would ever want to focus on him? We should focus on what is our right, to be whole and full and complete, expressing the kingdom of heaven. So fear needs to be banished. The reality is, I live in a broken world. You know that only too well. But there is a greater reality, and it goes like this. God is our refuge and strength. He is our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way. This is really extreme. Though the earth give way. You do not need an earth to stand on to live. He says he's going to do that one day. And the mountains fall into the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake. We do not need to fear because God is our refuge. I love these verses. I just really love these verses from Acts chapter 17. We don't have time to read it all. I know that time is going fast. But Acts chapter 17. I'll just read a bit of it. For one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them. I just love that. Do you know what? I was born on the day that God planned me to be born, and I'm going to die on the day that he has planned for me to die. And the exact places that where they should live, I am so thrilled that I live where God says live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. It goes on to say in that psalm that we read, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That river is pictured in Ezekiel and it's pictured in the book of Revelation. And beside that river is the trees for the healing of the nations. There is a river that is flowing today out of heaven to the people of God, that so they live in a broken world, they can become an expression of the security that we find, because nothing can change anything God has planned. No man, no sickness, nothing can change the destiny, because God is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we will not fear. Yeah, I don't mind you saying amen. That's really nice. So, yesterday morning, I did something that I couldn't believe it. But I opened up my computer. I don't know if ever you have done this. If you really want a shock, do this. Google this. World population clock. I discovered that yesterday morning by this time, in other words, it will be true today too, that if you Google that, I would rather you didn't do that now. I know it's fascinating. But if you look at it, it will say this to you. That today, this day, by now, 85,000 people have died. And that 185,000 babies have been born today by now. That in itself is a worrying statistic, because this morning, by now, there is 100,000 more people alive on the planet. But I think that that sets something in proportion for us, because if we look at that, 85,000 people that have died today already, this day, by now, that is 17 times more than all the people that have ever been died as a result of coronavirus. In other words, we're all panicking about something. It's happening every day in massive numbers. Now, I know what you're thinking. Stop it. Don't. Think, God is my refuge and strength. The situation is dangerous and real, but in God we put our trust. I'd like to say to you the same thing that George VI said at the opening to the war. Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. As a church and as a leadership, we feel it is so important that we put practical steps advised by the government. We submit to their authority. The Bible tells us to do that. And we are simply doing the very same thing Paul did when he said, drink wine, it's good for you. We are saying we need to do this. But it is not a question that we are submitting to some kind of fear. My confidence, your confidence, is in God. And we are simply doing what we're being told to do and to doing it practically that we may be healed. So here it is. First, always go to God. Second, you're responsible for knowing his will. You need to know whether you need to call an elder or a doctor. Both come from God. One's better looking than the other, I agree. No, perhaps not, Michael. Third, be thankful. Always give thanks. Just sometimes, I really hope that you'll hear my heart in this. Sometimes people recover from the most terrible things and they rightly bear testimony for what God has done. We need also not to put the nose out of joint of the surgeon who was the brilliant hand of God. The Lord and the surgeon, a team for me. God is my health. Let faith arise and all that are hungry be blessed. So if I've asked some tough questions today, this is probably the toughest. Is coronavirus a punishment from God, the consequence of the irresponsible race, or a demonic attack? So at this point, we'll close in prayer. So does God permit it, use it, create it? What I do know, absolutely know, is that he wants the world's attention. We all know that he says he's coming back again. And we all know the Bible says that at that time there will be some challenging issues for mankind. Whether this is that, I have no idea. However, let me quote the psalm that we read. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation that he has brought on the earth. Ah, you're going to say, I'm thinking that coronavirus is from God. Well, that's okay until I read Daniel. And then it talks about the desolation of the rebellion of the Antichrist. And how many of us know that we haven't looked after our planet very well? And it's creating desolation. What I would like to do is just remind us of something. You see, here is coronavirus creating fear. I don't know whether the press have got any choice or all that stuff. I have no idea. But one day this will pass and life will return to normal. But I'd like to remind you of events of the past. Do you remember the tsunami? What a devastating, devastating blow that was. Did you notice in the reading we had? Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, though the waters roar and foam. Luke says the same thing. Interestingly, I remembered Chernobyl. In the Ukraine, the Russian nuclear generating plant that exploded. It was the most terrible thing. People are still dying today as a result of Chernobyl. Did you know the word Chernobyl is a Russian word for wormwood? Did you know that Revelation chapter 8 says, the third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky, and on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood, Chernobyl. In our lifetime, we have witnessed three events. But those three to which I refer, all of which have been truly devastating. And I'm not going to answer whether I think it comes from God or the devil or man. But this I do know is he is sovereign and he is calling for the attention of every man on the face of this planet to look to him for their well-being. And so we come to the end of that psalm. What a great command. You are? That was you? It was me, my microphone. Thanks, George. Then we come to the end of the psalm. Whatever else, and however terrible, these are God's words to us. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I will not give way to fear. Romans 11 says, how unsearchable his judgments and his path beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who's been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And why does he want the attention of all mankind? Because he wants all to be saved and none to perish. And to come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen.